As I said before, I mean, aren't you a little bit curious what's behind a letter like this? Now, as Paul's letters go, this doesn't seem to be a terribly theologically dense letter. You know, we're not dealing with a whole lot of systematic theology and complicated points and different things that we would learn in catechism. It just kind of is what it is. It's a personal letter. So what I want to do tonight, something a little bit different, is just, and I know that we're going to be speculating a little bit, but I want to reconstruct for you the story behind this letter. And it starts with a man named Philemon. And Philemon was a pretty well-to-do man, and he lived in a place called Colossae. And, you know, based on our knowledge of where Paul traveled and where Philemon lived, we have to make a little bit of a jump in terms of where these two guys met. But most scholars think that at some point during Paul's time in the city of Ephesus, teaching and planting and supporting and building the church there, that Philemon made his way down the 150 miles from Colossae, and at some point during his visit to Ephesus, he ran into this guy named Paul. And we know Paul, right? I mean, we're pretty familiar with Paul. And we can easily guess what happened when somebody like Philemon ran into Paul. Paul shared his testimony with Philemon. He was excited to make a connection. He was excited about this good news that he had received from God through Jesus Christ. And he couldn't help but share it with anybody that God put in his way. And so, at some point while he was in Ephesus, these two men meet, and Paul shared his testimony and shared the gospel with Philemon, and wonder of wonders, Philemon believed. And not only did Philemon believe, but he was serious about it. And you know, this is another amazing thing that, you know, with the gospel, once that is shared and the connection that creates, I mean, this is potentially the only time Paul and Philemon have ever met, and yet Paul can write this intimate letter to Philemon. I mean, this is assuming an awful lot. This is assuming a relationship that just developed extremely quickly. Mutual respect, mutual love. And that can only happen in Christ Jesus. So it's a beautiful thing. Well, Philemon became a Christian. And when he traveled back to Colossae, what he did was he started a church with his wife and with his son in his own house. Started a church that met in his home, which tells us something right away. Philemon, as I mentioned before, was a man of some means. He was a wealthy man. He had a space big enough for a church to meet on his property. And so he must be a guy that's got some things going on. But there's another thing in our letter here that tells us that Philemon was a wealthy man, and that is that he owned slaves. He owned slaves. Now, I don't want to go too far into this, but, you know, slavery in the first century was much, much different than the slavery that we have had in our own history. I mean, it was much different, and a lot of You know, a lot of people in the past have tried to kind of shape this letter into kind of Paul's more overarching theology about slavery and his condemnation of it. But I don't see that in Philemon. I'm not arguing for slavery, don't get me wrong, but Paul, that doesn't seem to be Paul's primary thing in this letter. But anyway, we have to deal with the fact that Philemon was a wealthy man, and he did have slaves. And one of those slaves was named Onesimus. Onesimus. Now, Onesimus must not have liked very much to be a slave. I mean, he's a guy that had bigger dreams and bigger hopes for his life, and he felt like being a slave was, cramping his style a little bit. Not conducive to the places that he wanted to see and the people that he wanted to meet and the things that he wanted to do. And so he made a decision one day that he was going to change his circumstances. And I imagine it went something like this. One day he decided to change his circumstances, and he didn't just pack a bag and leave. He probably stayed until there was a good opportunity. And what he did between making the decision and actually taking advantage of that opportunity to leave was he cased the joint. He looked around the house, and he, you know, thinking, I want to get the most bang for my buck here because I can only carry so much stuff. He looked for, you know, where the valuable stuff was in Philemon's house. He looked for the stuff that was small yet would have a good payoff if he were to hawk it in the, you know, back alley of some city. And so the opportunity must have arisen, and Philemon and his family left for perhaps a getaway for the weekend, and Onesimus packed up the stuff from around the house, and he took off. And where did he go? Well, there was a saying in the ancient world that all roads lead to Rome. I mean, Rome was the big city. Rome was the capital of the empire. So, I mean, where else would a young country boy want to go than to Rome? I mean, Rome was like big cities of today. It was exciting, and it was diverse, and you know, if you wanted to get into trouble, you could find plenty of ways to get into trouble in a city like Rome, and you could do it pretty anonymously too. I would guess that was an attraction for Onesimus. So Onesimus got to Rome, and he lived high on the hog for a while. You know, wine, women, and song. Just a wide-eyed country boy with his first taste of the big city. But, you know, things ran their course. Before he knew it, the money that he got from the stuff that he stole from Philemon's household was probably all used up. And, you know, he found himself just kind of putzing around in Rome, looking for, you know, what was going to be the next phase in his life. Well, call it luck, but, you know, we don't call it luck, we call it providence. He must have run into somebody in Rome that, you know, kind of engaged him in conversation and said, hey, you know, where are you from? What you doing here? And I would guess that, you know, probably in a guarded way, Onesimus shared some of his story and perhaps shared some of his down on his luck type of circumstances that he was experiencing right at that moment after the money had run out. And I would imagine this guy said, you know, I'm hearing your story, and I understand you're kind of in a place that's a little bit confusing, and you're not quite sure how to move forward. You know, there's a guy that I think you should see, and he's here in Rome. He's a really, really bright guy. And, you know, he's been a lot of different places. And he's just a man of a great deal of wisdom. And, you know, his name is Paul. The only problem is Paul is under house arrest. And so he's not going to be able to come and meet you. You're going to have to go and see him. Well, Onesimus, you know, once the money runs out, he doesn't have many options. And so, you know, he probably says, yeah, I mean, what do I got to lose? I'll go see this guy. And so Onesimus goes and meets Paul. And what does Paul do? Well, he does exactly what he did with Philemon. It doesn't matter that Philemon is a wealthy guy and Onesimus is a former slave or runaway slave. And Paul does what he does. Paul shares his testimony with Onesimus, and he shares the gospel with Onesimus, and wonder of wonders, Onesimus, just like Philemon, comes to Christ. He was changed man. And actually, what's indicated in this letter is that, you know, Paul, being under house arrest, you know, obviously he needed different people to go about the city and do errands for him. And Onesimus kind of became that guy for Paul, at least for a time. You know, prisoners that were under house arrest, they were usually in the third story of a building, and they were 24/7 chained to a Roman guard. And based on the reading that I've done, a prisoner, even though he couldn't go anywhere, was responsible to kind of provide for himself or responsible to depend on friends to go and bring him food and bring him clothes and so on. And so Onesimus, for a time, was that guy for Paul. The guy running errands, and if Paul needs a new shirt, he can go and find a new shirt for him. And if Paul needs food, he goes and scrounges up some food. Or maybe he does some correspondence and go acts as a go-between between Paul and some of his friends and some of his fellow believers, some of his supporters. Well, the two men became very, very close. And I imagine that, you know, it wasn't at first, but at some point in that relationship, as it got more and more close, like a father and son, that after a time, Onesimus decided, you know what, I'm sick of holding this stuff that I've done inside of me. I've just gotta come clean and fess up, at least to Paul, because I know that Paul loves me, and I know that Paul will be able to kind of bring some wisdom into my situation. And so he shares with Paul. He says, you know what, I told you before that I came from the city of Colossae. Paul says, yeah, I know, I remember, that's great. He says, well, you know, actually, I was a slave in Colossae. I was the slave of a man named Philemon. Paul says, Philemon? Are you kidding me? I know Philemon. I shared the gospel with Philemon. I'm in correspondence with Philemon. I can't believe that. You were Philemon's slave? And Onesimus says, yeah, I was. And to be honest, I didn't leave on such great terms. Actually, I robbed him blind. And actually, that's how I came here. I stole, you know, everything valuable in his house that I could carry, and you know, I made my way to Rome, and of course, you know, now I spent it all, and well, you know, Paul, where I am right now. And Onesimus, as Paul is kind of mulling this over, probably says, you know, I realize that the punishment for something like this, for a slave, you know, robbing his master blind and running away, the punishment is death for me. And Paul, I'm sharing this with you, but at the same time, I'm sharing this, and even though I know I should probably go back and try and make things right, I really, the last thing I want to do is end up on a Roman cross. I mean, I don't want to be executed for this. I mean, I just found something worth living for. You've just given me something worth living for, this faith in Jesus and this new freedom in Jesus Christ. And now, you know, I have to face up to this past that is chasing me down, at least in my own mind. Well, Paul says to Onesimus, he says, you know what, Onesimus, you do have to go back. You do have to go back, but you know what? I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to write a letter for you to take with you. And I want you to bring this letter to Philemon and give it to him. And I want you to trust, like I trust, that everything is going to be okay, that God is in control of this, and that things are going to work out. So Onesimus, being the changed man that he is, obviously takes Paul at his word and sets off from Rome back to Colossae, holding that letter from Paul in a very, very safe place, I would imagine. So you fast forward, because this journey would have taken a while. You fast forward the weeks and maybe months that it took for Onesimus to get back. He finally comes to the driveway, and, you know, he's walking up Philemon's driveway, and, you know, I imagine Philemon was maybe on the porch, and he looks out and says, man, that looks like Onesimus, but that guy would never dare come back here. Well, as he gets closer, Philemon says, hey, that actually is Onesimus. I'm a little curious. What's going on here? And so as Onesimus makes it this last little bit to the porch to meet face-to-face with Philemon, Philemon is probably making plans about how he's going to take Onesimus under arrest and hand him over to the authorities, and whatever may be will be. And I'm sure Onesimus probably read that in Philemon's face and in his behavior. And he says, you know what, Philemon, before you do anything, I would ask you just to please just read this letter. Just read this letter. And so Philemon opens the letter and sees that it's from Paul. I'm sure that made him very happy. He probably called to his wife, Apphia, and probably to his son too, Archippus, and he said, hey, you guys, we got a letter from Paul. I know Onesimus is here, and we're going to deal with that, but let's look at this letter from Paul. I mean, after all, Paul changed their lives, right? And so they read. And so as they read, they very quickly discern what Paul is writing the letter about, or who Paul is writing the letter about. I mean, this is Paul asking a pretty big favor from Philemon in terms of how to deal with this runaway slave that robbed them blind. And as he reads, he's probably looking up at Onesimus and just making sure he's staying put. Then he comes to verse 17. Paul says, if you consider me a partner, welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. So Onesimus reads this letter and he comes to that part, and that's a big verse. Because I'm sure that Philemon perhaps was a little bit skeptical with Onesimus coming back and coming back with a letter from Paul. And you know, I'm sure he was suspicious that, you know, I mean, plenty of people in history have converted to different religions to get out of trouble, right? At least that's our suspicion. And I'm sure that was Philemon's suspicion too. But when he came to that verse, he knew. He knew that Onesimus had confessed all to Paul. That not only did he share with Paul that he ran away, but also he shared with Paul that he robbed Philemon's household. And Paul, in his letter, writes to Philemon, "If there is anything that Onesimus owes, I want you to put that on my account." And see, you know, we've been following this story, but here's where the important theology comes in. Because what Paul is doing there, that is living out the gospel. That is living out the gospel. That I believe, is why the letter of Philemon is included in the Bible. Is that verse. "If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me." Because just as Paul took on Onesimus' debt, took on Onesimus' sin against Philemon, took on his debt to Philemon, so Jesus Christ takes on the debt that you and I owe to God. The debt to his holiness, a debt that, you know, if we had 1,000 lifetimes, we could never pay back. Jesus takes our debt and puts it on his account. And on the cross, Jesus paid that debt in full. So Jesus pays your debt. Just as Paul is asking Philemon to put Onesimus' debt on his account, Jesus pays your debt and you are forgiven. And that is the gospel. But it's not all the gospel, okay? It's not all the gospel. There's something else too. And so as we read further and imagine further about how this played out, what Paul asks is not just for Philemon to forgive Onesimus. What Paul says is, "If you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me." And so Philemon and his wife and his son, they have two choices here, okay? Well, they have more than two choices, but they can forgive Onesimus and say, "Okay, Onesimus, you know, Paul asked us to forgive you. We're going to forgive you. So go ahead and go. Your bed is still open in the slave quarters, and get a good night of sleep, and you can get started back to work tomorrow." See, that's not all that Paul is asking. Paul says, "Receive Onesimus as you would receive me." And so I would imagine something like this happened. And I can imagine that Philemon and Apphia were just as amazed as we are about this. But, you know, what Paul is asking is for them to make up the nicest guest bedroom and to put Onesimus in there. Don't look at him as a slave anymore, but if you love me and if you have received the gospel, the way to show it is to receive Onesimus back as a brother. And so it's not just that Paul is asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. He is asking Philemon to receive Onesimus into his family. And that's part of the gospel too. See, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, that wasn't just for forgiveness. But we enjoy so much more. We are both forgiven, but we're also received into God's very family. Ephesians 1 talks about this in a beautiful way. We are received into his family. We are considered sons and daughters. We are accepted on behalf of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice he made on the cross, his position becomes our position, and his privileges become our privileges, and his possessions become our possessions. We are part of the family. That's what it means to be in Christ. And in microcosm, that is what Paul encourages Philemon to in his letter. He encourages that for us as well. It's kind of a parable almost, this letter. A parable showing us what the gospel is and how wonderful it is for us. We're forgiven. We're accepted. And that's the best news that we will ever hear. Amen.